is now in session.
Damn.
It is Monday, October 28th, 2019, an 11-game slate to kick off the week. Welcome to DG Courtroom. I'm your host, the judge, Daniel Green. You can find me on Twitter at DanielAGreen1. Make sure you follow us on Instagram at DG Courtroom. Posting a lot of cool stories and posts up there daily that hopefully you guys find both entertaining and informative. Also, very important that you guys rate, review, and subscribe to the show. Also, when I tweet out the link, please hit that lovely retweet button. In previous years, we read a lot of the more clever reviews on the show. We shall start doing that, starting with the next podcast we do, which will probably be Wednesday. So I know you guys listening. You guys are very, very clever individuals. So again, the reviews, all that stuff. I know you hear it on every stupid podcast, and you're probably like, whatever. I don't know if you skip over this opening or whatever you do, but believe it or not, it really does help. So let's get some nice reviews for the show. And the retweets, man. It takes you 1 second to hit that retweet button. All right, quickly, some housekeeping. A big slate on Monday. An excellent first week. And now week two begins with 11 games. It's a lot of games. So you know me. I talk a lot. Can I do this show in under an hour? We'll see. Probably not. But I'll do my best. All right, quickly, housekeeping. As you should know by now, Slack is back. If you want to join Slack, message me on a variety of social platforms, Twitter, Instagram, wherever. It is $20 for the last few days of October and all of November. My sole goal in life is to make the bailiff happy. But after that, it is in making Slack the ultimate DFS experience where you don't got to purchase anything else. Slack should have everything you need to get you ready for that night's slate. And I mean everything. I want to give you all the tools you need to be a successful, profitable DFS player. Yes, it is a chat room, but that's only one small feature. You get the Crack Core 4 30 minutes before lock, Monday through Friday. And on weekends, I do my best. Normally, at least one of the weekend days, I give you a core. You also get a spreadsheet of my top plays each weekday, a chance to play Chambers, the toughest competition, the toughest DFS tournament in the land. And starting this week, this Friday, a chance to pool your money together with other members in Slack. We will enter high-stakes contests like the Monster. So join us. Last year we had over 100,000 heirs. I think the final tally was like 116,000 heirs. This year already had a few in the first week. If you want details, let me know. Get in while you can. How long will Slack last? As you'll see in a few minutes. I don't know. It could only be. Maybe it's only November. So if you want to join, I recommend doing so now. Also, as I mentioned last week, I'm still finalizing my plans for the entire NBA DFS season. These podcasts, they're a grind, man. They're hard to do. It's 3:41 Eastern in the morning. if you're a fan of the show and you want me to continue them, help spread the word, help us grow. That's why I said, help with the retweets and the reviews. But for now, we will take them one pod at a time with a tentative plan of them being unleashed each weekday or each week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I will not at this moment commit to anything past that, as I do not want to become Blake Griffin, man. I want my entire body to break down, going on 2-3 hours of sleep each night. But honestly, that is why I don't have like a yearly fee for Slack. I get nervous about being able to survive these 7 months. I've been doing this 5 years now. And for those of you who have been with me for all of that time, or even some of that time, you know how much I put into this, right? I love nothing more than the NBA and DFS. I spend every free damn second I have on it. But a lot of the stuff I do just might not be sustainable, unfortunately. I could talk about this with you, right? I feel close to you guys. We have a personal bond on this show, so it's important that I am transparent with you. So for now, we take it day by day. And I will let you know when I've made some more definitive decisions about this season. Before we get to this massive 11-game slate on Monday, I will say this. The other NBA content that I have seen thus far is ass. It's awful. It truly is. You have almost every other site providing content with guys doing multiple sports, namely the NFL, who know absolutely nothing or very little about the NBA. It's mind-blowing. This weekend, we had Roto Grinders, which you know I love. I'm very passionate about Roto Grinders. I mean, they did a show on Saturday telling viewers how awful small forward was when it was loaded. I was so aroused. I was squirting Giga Juice everywhere to roster all the small forwards. You had Ingram without Drew, Tobias without Embiid, Siakam in his 35% usage rate, and on and on and on. I was so disturbed when I saw that damn show. Because clearly, these two goons, I won't say goons, whatever, I'm sure they're very nice guys. But clearly, they did not know what was going on in the NBA season. You know, and in all seriousness, I don't bring this up to trash Roto Grinders, because that's a great site, man. It really is. They have a lot of really good guys, great DFS players, and solid tools. But it's more to illustrate the fact that right now, listeners to this pod, and those of you in Slack, we have a distinct advantage over the field, right? I mean, NBA, it's what I do and what I know. I mean, NFL, hell, I can't name 15 players. This is a basketball show, 100% NBA. My true love. I don't need a girl. I got a ball, or two of them. Wait, does that even make sense? Whatever, you get the idea. We already know that most sites, content providers, I mean, they're relying almost exclusively now on optimizers, right? I mean, and this at this point of the season, this could not be more glorious for us. At the start of the season, when the sample size is this small, you know, these optimizers, models, the tools, the tools are not nearly as useful as actually knowing the NBA. Now, once the sample size starts growing, then they become a lot more reliable. But knowing the NBA, knowing the players, the coaches, the rotations, preseason, even what happened in Summer League, man, like that stuff matters, and that gives us an edge right now. My microphone. I'm such a rant here. My microphone. I unplugged it out of the computer. All right, we're back. So again, a lot of stuff that you're seeing in models right now, it's just not reflective of what's going to happen in the games. And that's why in the first week of the season, we've been very successful. I've been 6-for-6 so far, knock on wood, been able to make a profit each day. And it's not a coincidence that almost every supercomputer or max entry player and a lot of the names that we're used to seeing at the top of the leaderboard, they haven't been there yet. Why? Because they're not focused on the NBA like us, man. We're not reading box scores. We're watching games, and we're kicking ass. End of rant. Let's break down Monday's mother puppin' slate. Okie, take it away. Because here comes Okie-Doke. The friendliest of folk is Mr. Okie-Doke. Okie-Doke, Okie-Doke, a helpful hand in hand. Get ready for good old Mr. Okie-Doke. Thank you, Okie. All right, we kick it off. 11 games. Bulls-Knicks, 224 over-under. It's a big number. The Bulls, one-point favorite. The Knicks. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with the Knicks? Not much, right? 11-game slate. Everyone that makes your roster, you should feel good about. You don't have to force anyone. For the Knicks, what do we know? We know that Fizdale is a maniac. We know that he loves RJ Barrett and Julius Randle. Other than that, everyone else's minutes, we truly don't know. They still have way too many big men. Mitchell Robinson came back last week. He's played two games now, only played 19, 20 minutes in those games. Is he ever going to see 30-plus minutes? With Bobby the Penis Portis there, Marcus Morris there, and Taj Gibson there, even Knox who can play the four. Who knows? I think eventually there will be games that he does, but clearly you guys know that I wouldn't look to anyone really on 11 game site here for a cash game. For tournaments, well, you know, if you want to go Barrett in cash, the problem is his price came up. He's now 6.7K on FanDuel. I think to start the year, he was like 5.5K or something like that. So he's 6.1 on DraftKings. So, I mean, I'm not going to go Barrett. And Randall's up to 8.8 on FanDuel and 8.3 on DraftKings. So I'm not going to go with those two in a cash game, even though, you know, it's not crazy. I just don't think you need to do it. For tournaments, clearly, you can play those guys. Marcus Morris, he's the other guy here who's just staring at us, right? I mean, he's played around 30 minutes in the first three games, a little bit over that, actually. We saw him on Boston last year. He likes to shoot, right? And he's going to have a decent usage, even though it hasn't been great to start the year. But 5.2K on FanDuel is fine. 5.3 on DraftKings, not ideal. If he's like a last piece of in your lineup, I could see it. But again, 11 games late, you don't need to do it. And Mitchell Robinson in tournaments, you could take a flyer if you want. I mean, the center position normally on a slate this massive, and almost every day nowadays in the NBA, you have centers going off, and that's why a lot of times on DraftKings and other sites like Fantasy Draft, you want to play centers as much as you can. Hell, Cody Zeller put up 55 on, what, Sunday night. I mean, it was insane. What, 6-7 blocks and steals by Cody freaking Zeller? Towns was like the fifth best center on Sunday night. So, Mitchell Robinson, I don't hate that for a tournament. Clearly, it's all about minutes with him, right? If he got 30 minutes, he's going to get 40. He's going to give you like 5 blocks. But are the minutes going to be there? We don't know. Fizdale truly is freaking crazy. So, already got a couple DMs on Twitter about this is a revenge for Bobby the Penis Portis. Yeah, he's 5K. He's cheap. If you want to go that route in a tournament, he's 5.4 on DraftKings, so it's probably a better FanDuel play. Although, then again, on FanDuel, you only get one center, so I don't think I'm gonna have a penis in my lineup on Monday. And then, you know, other than that, the other bums for the Knicks, no thanks. I mean, Alonzo Trier, yeah, I just don't need to go there on this slate. For the Bulls, they've been an interesting, fun team to watch the first week of the season. The game one, we saw Markkanen go nuts, right? Game two, we saw LaVine go nuts. Also, we saw Kobe White the first couple games come off the bench and just light it up. That kid he's really good. Can do a lot of different things on the court. He's fearless. He can shoot, and he attacks the hoop. Defensively, not that great, but that's to be expected for a rookie. But he's already locked into that role coming off the bench. Kind of reminds me a little bit like Eric Gordon back in the day, who also played for the Bulls. Although I think Kobe White's more versatile and ultimately has a higher ceiling as a player. So the Bulls they're still starting Stanky Sadoransky. The problem is, Sadoransky and Dunn are basically splitting minutes. So very hard to get excited to play those two guys right now. They're both hovering around the 5K price tag. You know, I tried to play Sadoransky a couple nights. The big night that I did, it was awful. Other than that though, he's gotten you 30 and 19. I don't have a ton of love for this. Although I will say, I didn't even mention L for the Knicks. The Knicks point guard situation is an absolute disgrace. But Elf would be another guy. Obviously, you can target tournaments if the minutes are there. He is starting. But Fizdale has no idea what he wants to do at the point guard position. Now, in years prior, we'd love to target Elf on defense, right? The problem here is Sadoransky, will the minutes be there? Doesn't appear that way. So if you want to take a shot, go ahead. Even though it is Elf defense, I'm not overly excited. Dunn's coming off the bench, and Dunn's playing really well, and the coach is praising Dunn. Dunn has been playing great defense. Offensively, nothing. But you know, a lot of that also is because the point guard of that team, the guy who handles the ball the entire game, is LaVine. He really does. So LaVine would be someone, I think he's fine for all formats. 8K. Did not make the first couple builds that I made. Also, when I was looking around optimal lineups on a couple of different sites, I didn't really see anyone in this game in either of the two lineups. But LaVine, I don't have an issue with. Markkanen would be another guy. Markkanen's probably tournaments only for me. Wendell Carter, another guy, if you want to look that route in tournaments. And then Coby White, he already was getting some cash game love over the weekend. So you can look that way. I see myself going in another route. But Coby White, I'm fine with that play. 5.1K is a fair price tag for someone with his potential. And he's 5K on DraftKings. I mean, he's going to be popping off, you know, 30 fantasy point nights somewhat consistently. Although, he came back down to earth last game against Toronto. But Toronto, that was a tough matchup. So, Knicks, better matchup for Coby. I don't hate it. But I don't see myself rostering a lot of guys from that particular game. Next up, Indiana-Detroit. Didn't these two teams play the first game of the damn season? Yeah, they did. Because sleepy Andre Drummond went nuts, right? That's when he had the 81 fantasy points. I got to say, Indiana, I think I've watched maybe the fewest out of any team play so far this year. And that's because I have rostered almost no Indiana. I think I've maybe done a little Brogdon, a little Sabonis, and maybe Turner one slate as well. The Pistons, I've seen almost every second of every Detroit game. Drummond, well, clearly we just saw him already pop off 80. So, great play on this slate. He's projected for right around 55, I'm seeing. He did not, all the early optimal builds that I saw, they had Deadman walking. We'll get to the Kings game later, but they had me spending down at the center spot. So, ultimately, what's the case tomorrow? What will happen by lineup lock? I'm not sure. Drummond's clearly going to have some ownership. Everyone's going to be talking about, he popped off 80 against Indiana last game. The fact this is a slow pace. I don't worry about pace when it comes to centers, obviously. Honestly, slower the pace, it can benefit centers. So Drummond, he's going to be playing volleyball. He's clearly too big and too strong for Turner or Sabonis. So 10.3K, I will have some Drummond exposure for sure. And in a cash game, I don't mind it, save for all formats. The other guy, if you've been watching Detroit at all, you already know who the other guy that you probably are going to look to on the slate. And on FanDuel, the price has come up. On DraftKings, though, he's probably still a little bit too cheap. You guys know who it is? You know who I'm talking about? Let me know when you know. Raise your hand. Who is the smooth criminal? It is Derrick Rose. That's right. Now, look, I've given Derrick Rose a lot of crap in the past, right? Call him the criminal. By the way, I should say alleged criminal. But he's been smooth. he's been smooth. So, look, I'm not against changing nicknames. We have a nickname for a player. We'll change it up. He's now no longer just the criminal. He's the smooth criminal. Because, man, he's been smooth on the court. How easily he is getting to the rim. How explosive he looks. It is impressive. Man, thankfully, I had Rose in my cash game lineup last game. And besides the turnovers, which were an issue, but it was against Philly, too, by the way. And Philly's has alien defenders everywhere. 14 for 21 from the field, 48 fantasy points. Only 26 minutes. He's not going to see really more than that. 28 will be the max he ever sees. Dwayne Casey has already given 1,000 interviews on this because the fans, by the way, the fans in Detroit, they love Derrick Rose. And they're already clamoring for him to start because they don't really have a starting point guard. Reggie Jackson stinks and also may be out for this game. So that leaves the midget Tim Frazier, who stinks even worse than Reggie Jackson. So Rose, he's only going to play 26, 28 minutes, but he's going to shoot every damn time he has the ball. And the Pistons have no one else that can score. Who else is going to score? Tony Snell? Markieff Morris? Langston Galloway? Thon Maker? Luke Kennard? Okay, Luke Kennard can do some things, but that's it. They got no one. So it's the Derrick Rose show every second that he's in the game. Save for all other puppet formats. Even that 6.5K price tag on FanDuel, well, I don't love it. right now, the way he's playing, his floor is probably right around that 30 fantasy point mark. Again, not the best game flow here against Indiana, and you know, Indiana's got some decent defenders. I could see them putting Brogdon on Rose for large stretches. Even Justin Holiday, who's a really good defender. So, I'm not sure how much Rose exposure I'm going to have at the end of the day, but nothing wrong with it right now, save for all formats at this point, until further notice. Raise your hand if you tried to play Tim Frazier over the weekend. Raise your hand. About 20% of you should raise your hand, because that was about his ownership, at least on FanDuel. I don't think we need to go there. I think the opportunity cost is going to be too much to overcome. You got some really good point guards on this slate. But if you want to play him, you know, he can stumble and bumble and fumble his way to, 20 fantasy points. He was pretty bad against Philly, and he ended up with 16 fantasy points, 21 minutes. You know, it's Tim Frazier. On the Indiana side, I don't really have a lot of love for these guys. Sabonis is 7.9K, Turner 7.6 on FanDuel and on DraftKings. Sabonis 7.6, Turner 6.4. I guess on DK, Turner maybe. But I think there's just better options. TJ Warren is dirt cheap, so maybe you can look that way in a tournament. Hasn't looked right so far. I'm not sure if he's still trying to figure out what his role is in the offense. I think he may have even been out one game. Wasn't he hurt one game? Again, not a team that I focused on watching. So I'm just basically reading box scores, and I think I watched one fourth quarter. But Warren would be a guy I could see taking a shot in tournaments. Lamb would be too, at 5.9. And then Brogdon, his box scores look great. 7.6K on FanDuel and 6.9 on DraftKings. I mean, clearly, has a significant role. The minutes are secure. So, I just think there's better options on this slate, but I don't have an issue with that, I guess. Next game, Philly-Atlanta. There's no line here because Embiid is still questionable. I'm hoping Embiid is out again. If Embiid's out, then this game is delicious on the Philly side, at least, right? On the Philly side, they're playing way up in pace against Atlanta. Atlanta can't defend anyone. Ben Simmons, now over the weekend when Embiid was out, I went almost all in on Simmons and Tobias, and I had a lot of Horford on DraftKings. All those guys came through. Simmons didn't even play well. Like sleptwalked through half the game. He still got close to 50. Now he got 5 steals, which I don't think will happen again. Tobias, though, was really good. Horford just kind of stumbled his way to putting up 45, went on a massive flurry late in that game. So, again, we got to wait till the news, but if Embiid is out, feel free to load up on Simmons, Tobias, Horford, save for all formats on all sites. Now, I know a lot of people see the name Horford, don't really want to play him. 6.2 on DraftKings and 6.9 on FanDuel. Remember, he's a power forward now on FanDuel. It's safe. The condom's back on for Average Al. I like all those guys. Even Jay Rich, you want to go that route, it's fine. Now, the one other guy is Matisse Thybulle, who I played in cash games. He's the minimum, basically, on FanDuel and on DraftKings. What is he? 3.4. I will go back to the well on Thybulle if he's starting. Now, against Detroit, he looked awful. He kept committing turnovers, which was a big problem. And then you can kind of tell sometimes when these rookies, that just, or veterans too, when just mentally they're kind of just screwed, they get kind of razzled on the court. And he clearly was perplexed out there. Not to mention he got his three-point attempt blocked by Derrick Rose. Wasn't a good game for him, but clearly he's a defensive monster. There could not be a game better suited for his skill set, especially at the defensive end. Again, you probably heard a bunch of people already talking about how Dybul defensively is so elite, and he's going to rack up blocks and steals. Well, this is the game to do it. This is the game. Even if Embiid plays, you could take a flyer in a tournament. Also, because Philly could blow them out, and Dybul is probably going to play 20 minutes either way. So I really like that play. I think he could find a way to get you 30 fantasy points. This is just a great game for him. So, again, wait on the news for Embiid, but I'm going to have a lot exposure to a lot of Philly guys. On the Hawks side, Trae Young has been sensational. He really has. If I had to rank like the top five players in the fantasy wise in the league, maybe even just overall, who I've seen who's been the best in the league the first week, he probably would make the list. Right? It would be Towns. Who else? Who else has been great? Why can't I remember right now? Probably Drummond. But Trae would be right. Doncic is so damn good, man. He gets 50 without sweating. But Trae Young, 9.4K on FanDuel and 9K on DraftKings. Hell, he should already be 10K. He really should. He does everything for this team. I mean, the usage is absurd. 21 and 25 shots, 62 fantasy points last game. The issue is Philly defensively is just elite, right? So they have Trae Young's a midget. Philly is so damn big and long. I can't wait to watch and see how Trae does against them, but I don't think I want to play Trae Young on this slate. Look, this may be a game where if he beats me, and he's been so good, he may, but I just like other guys. This is a bad, bad matchup for him. I did not look how he did against Philly last year, although, again, this is a different Philly team, but so maybe tomorrow I'm going to go check that out, but I think I'm going to be fading Trae Young, even though, again, he's looked tremendous. So if you want to play him, I'm not gonna give you too much of a hard time. But this is a really tough matchup for him. And same goes for – I don't really want any Atlanta guy. Philly is just not a team that I'm looking to attack. Like, I know Derrick Rose just lit them up. So if Derrick Rose can light them up, certainly Trae Young can. But I don't think it's for me right now. Orlando-Toronto, 212 over-under. Toronto, 4-point favorite, 4.5-point favorite. I don't see – I see myself just almost wanting to forget this game is even happening. I really do. These are two good teams, two solid defensive teams. I look at Orlando sometimes, and I'm like, how do they ever score? They just – I mean, Isaac is great defensively. Offensively has a ways to go. Aaron Gordon, what's the one question we always ask about Aaron Gordon? Why do you exist? Well, the first two games of the season, I've been asking that every time I watch him on the court. Why is he out there? What is he doing? Not much. You got Fournier and Augustine. We all know what we get with those guys. Vucevic would be one guy you can look to, but Marc Gasol, even though he's been ass offensively, he's still a really good defender. And we saw in the playoffs, Vucevic got shut the F down. How many of you guys remember Vucevic in the playoffs last year? You probably don't even remember. I don't know if you, a lot of people didn't even watch that series, but he was dreadful. And a lot of that was Marc Gasol defense. He's very hard to post up, and he holds his ground really, really, really well. And Vucevic, there were long stretches where Vucevic couldn't even get off a damn shot. Now that I don't think Gasol is going to be as motivated as he was in the postseason. Plus, he has looked really bad the first few games. But again, not a good matchup here for Orlando, and I just don't want a lot of exposure there. On the Toronto side, Siakam is 8.7K on FanDuel, and DraftKings, he's what? 8.7K. So I'm never going to get mad if you want to play a guy with a 35% usage. Maybe it went down after the last game because he got in foul trouble. But tough matchup. I mean, Siakam and Isaac, they're almost clones defensively. So that will be fun to watch. Then again, maybe Gordon will guard him a little bit too. Fun to watch if you like defense. But I don't think I'm going to go there on the slate. OG, his prices went up a little bit. He's 5.2K on FanDuel, and he's 4.9 on DraftKings. I don't hate him as a last piece, I guess. Van Vliet or Lowry. Sure. I mean, look, the one good thing here is we know the rotation, right? We know all the Toronto guys are gonna play big minutes. So I'm okay with if you want to go there. I just think I prefer other games to target. This next game is one of them. Golden State Pelicans. How many of you have been watching Golden State so far this year? Anyone raising their hand? A few people. I know the West Coast games are tough, I know. Look, they stink. They freaking stink. They are awful. And defensively, they're a train wreck. Talent-wise, they may be a bottom five team in terms of both just defense and just talent. Look at their roster. Besides Steph, Russell, and Draymond. And by the way, what's Russell looks miserable out there. I mean, you got Glenn Robinson, the third. You might as well bring back his dad, the big dog. He's a better player. Marquese Chris, Eric Paschal, who's been like their best freaking player the first week of the season. Jordan Poole, Fat Chicken Wings, Amari Spellman, Alec, I can't say healthy, Burks, Jacob, who the hell are you, Evans, Damian, I married a Curry Lee. Did he marry a Curry sister? He married some, I know he married some famous NBA player's sister. I don't remember now who it is. I got to Google that. And then Kai Bowman? What the fuck kind of... Oh, can I swear? Bailiff, sorry. What kind of roster is that? That is not... How many NBA talent level guys are on that roster? I'm being dead serious. Five? That's awful. That's so bad. I don't know how... if Curry is not exploding going off... How are they going to win anything? Win a game? Now, Curry's great, so he's going to go off, and they're going to win games, right? But like, I'm serious. Like, they are going to struggle defensively. They don't have a single perimeter defender, so it's going to be. If you're a Warriors fan, it could be a long season, man. And I gotta say, watching them ruin slate after slate after slate. Especially the last 3 years since I got Durant, it makes me giddy as hell to watch them get obliterated by 40 to a crappy Oklahoma City Thunder team like they did on Sunday. But, hey, that was Sunday. This is daily fantasy sports, right? Monday, I love me some Warriors. In this, like, there's no over-under here because Drew Holiday is questionable still. But once we get the news, this is going to be a massive number. Probably the highest over-under on the slate. This could have the highest over-under of any game this year so far. It could be a 236 number like that. So, love Curry. Now, some of the numbers are not reliable because Golden State's gotten blown out basically every game. So, Curry's 9.2K. on FanDuel, and he's 9.5 on DraftKings. But on this late, I think he's safe. All formats. Will I go that route in cash games? No, probably not. Although, I still think you probably can if you need it. If you don't want to spend all the way up for a guy like Westbrook, who we'll get to in a few minutes. But tournaments, clearly, Curry's going to be a guy that I will look to on this slate for sure. Russell, I'll have some exposure in him as well. And then Draymond, I will too. I'm going to stack this game for sure. Marquese Chris and the other guys, whatever. Again, 11-game slate. If you need, as a last piece, if you need a Chris or a Glenn Robinson or a Paschal, fine, I guess, even though they suck in real life. For the Pelicans... So, Brandon Ingram, hopefully you played him on Saturday. I think on Instagram I had a story where the bailiff told you to roster Ingram with Drew Holiday being out. Ingram, just sensational. The problem is the price has skyrocketed. He's 8.5K on FanDuel. 7.5 on DraftKings. That's still okay. So if Holiday comes back, I'm just not going to pay that price tag for Ingram. I'm not. Plus, I think they'd put Draymond Green on him. So the one good defender that the Warriors have is going to be guarding Ingram, I would imagine. So I will let Ingram beat me on this slate. If Holiday plays, I will have some exposure to Holiday just because I'm not going to miss the first good game that he has. Although I wish his price didn't come down at all. He's 8.8 on FanDuel. He's 8.6 on DraftKings still. So we're not getting a discount. I was hoping he'd be much closer to 8K. So I'm not going to go crazy with Holiday, but I'll have some exposure. Again, if Holiday's out, Ingram and Ball, you can look to Lonzo's price is still fair. He was great as well over the weekend. And then Josh Hart, the problem is his price has jumped too. So he's up to 5.6 now on FanDuel and 4.8 on DK. If he's been really good though, man. Like he's been the one guy I've been wrong on. In the preseason, I saw a route where Hart wouldn't even be in the rotation because Alexander Walker looks so good. Well, that's not the case. Hart is clearly locked into having a significant role, whereas Alexander Walker can barely get on the court. So if Holiday's out, Hart's probably fine for all formats. Dr. Flavors, I still don't like the minutes there, and Kenrick Williams, no, the rest of the guys for the Pelicans, no thanks. So let's hope we get that Holiday news early in the day. Next game, Cavs Bucks. How about that? So 225 over under, or 222, sorry. The Bucks are a big time favorite here. 15.5 points coming off their first loss of the season against Miami. Now, in Slack, I was trying to tell people on Saturday, I think it was Saturday, that Kevin Love's a sneaky play. Their coach, I always forget the coach's name, the guy who coached Michigan last year. Man, he does not stop talking about Kevin Love. He wants to run every damn play through Kevin Love. I guess whatever analytics he was looking at in the preseason, and he was saying that even in practice that they keep stats and they have an analytic department who goes through their practices. And all the actions that they run through Kevin Love end up in positive results. So I was pretty eager to roster Love on Saturday, although then again I didn't have as much in retrospect as I would have liked because he put up 50. and didn't even take a lot of shots, but he got to the foul line though. He was rebounding like the Kevin Love in Minnesota, and the most important part was the thing that I just said. Like they're running a lot of offense right through Kevin Love. Look, Sexton's not a real point guard. That guy still doesn't know how to pass the damn ball. Darius Garland, I don't know what to make of him yet. So Kevin Love had 9 assists, and I see Cleveland. Like, that's going to continue for the time being. So, Kevin Love, I probably won't go that route in cash games. 8.5K on FanDuel and 8.4 on DraftKings. But in tournaments, I'm perfectly fine with it. Tristan Thompson's other guy. If you played Thompson and Love over the weekend, you got 100 fantasy points. They each put up 50. Those two guys, again, would be the guys that I'm fine with. Like, I don't love the center position here. Thompson's projected for around 33 fantasy points, 6.5K on FanDuel and 6.3 on DraftKings. That's a fair price. I don't hate that. I'm not giddy about Thompson. I never am excited to roster him, but it's fine. He was really good over the weekend, and clearly him and Kevin Love are going to gobble up every damn rebound. I mean, the thing over the weekend that was most surprising, like, I don't remember a game where Tristan Thompson had took 16 shots, but he did over the weekend. Like, that's a lot of freaking shots from him. But, so, hell, if he comes anywhere near that, I would gladly roster him. So, I already mentioned Garland and Sexton. I don't know what to make. I don't think that's going to work out too well, because I don't know if either of them knows how to share the ball. Tournaments only, Garland's only 4.6 on FanDuel, so in a tournament, you can take a shot. I mean, look, they're going to develop him, so I don't mind him. So far, he has looked underwhelming, but again, he's going to improve, and he could have some big games, so not sure eventually how good he'll be, but tournaments, okay, 4.6K, man. It's a salary type game, right? On the Bucks side, yeah, I mean, they should win this game pretty handily. So I don't have a lot of need to play some of these Bucks. Giannis is 12.4. Never wrong to roster him, right? Who's going to guard him for the Cavs? I don't know. Kevin Love, that's not going to go well. Osman. That won't go well either. Nance off the bench. Yeah, so Giannis, obviously capable of a big game. You want to go that route, go ahead. Other guys, it's just no thanks for me. But also, like, that over-under seems high. Cleveland, they're going to play slow, especially if they're playing through Kevin Love in the post. So I just don't really want to play any Bucks. OKC Houston. This game should get everyone aroused. It really should. You got Westbrook facing his team, former team, OKC. You got Chris Paul going back to Houston, where no matter what they say in the media, that did not end well. He hates Harden's guts. Harden hates his guts. That's fantastic. You got to love the narratives. Now, I think narratives are an overrated thing when it comes to the NBA. But they're fun to talk about. And sometimes when you have true hatred, like I do think you have in a case here, you know, maybe they give you a little extra motivation for a player in a long tedious season. Chris Paul is coming off a back-to-back, but he only played 19 minutes because, they beat the Warriors by 40. So I think he'll be fresh. He'll be motivated. He has not looked great to start the year. 7.6 on FanDuel and 7.4 on DraftKings. That's a very fair price. He's not going to probably make my cash game lineup just because I love point guard. Like, there's point guards who have ceilings of 50, 60 with ease, right? Is Chris Paul that player anymore? Probably not. Will he get a few extra minutes, a few extra shots this game just because it's Houston? I don't know if Billy Donovan's going to be gonna do that. I'm not sure. But I will have some Chris Paul exposure a little bit. SGA has been tremendous, but he's up to 7.9K now on FanDuel and 7K on DraftKings. Not wrong to play him. He's been great. I just think I like other guys better. Other OKC guys, I don't really love on this slate. I mean, Dennis Schroeder is only 4.6K, so as like a last piece, I guess I don't mind that. 5K on DraftKings. He's looked better the last couple games coming off the bench. And they do need his scoring. They do. So I don't hate that. For Houston, though, you got Russ and Harden, right? So Russ is 10.9K on FanDuel, and he's 9.4 on DraftKings. It's probably a little too cheap for both. If you watch Houston play, like, man, it's the same guy from OKC for the most part. The usage is maybe down a little bit, but he's crashing the boards like a madman. The assists are fantastic. D'Antoni does a great job of staggering the minutes. So he plays, you know, what, at least 15 minutes without Harden, right in that range, maybe 14 or so. And every second that Harden's not on the court, he's going to dominate. Love the play. Safe for all formats, and obviously going up against OKC. Now, if it was in OKC, it'd be a bigger deal, but still, it's still against OKC. He's going to want to prove something. Love the Westbrook play. Made my first cash game lineup. I'll play him. I'll have a lot of exposure. You probably will, too. He'll be popular, too, on this slate. Harden is probably the more controversial guy. You know, a lot of people after the first couple games are saying, oh, man, you can't play Harden with Westbrook. This is what I mean. Disagree completely. Man, you don't even have to be watching the games. I mean, Harden, last game, just played awful. The first two games of the season, he can't make a shot. Last game, he was 8 for 29 with 8 turnovers. I had a lot of Harden. A lot. And he kept missing and kept bricking. It wasn't even close, by the way, on his shots. But is he going to stop shooting? No! He's not going to stop shooting. So like the usage rate last game was like 45%. Sign me up every day of the week telling me a guy's going to take 29 freaking shots. Those shots are going to start to fall. It's only a matter of time. So do you have to go Harden in cash games? No, you don't have to. But am I gladly... And by the way, I had Harden like 33%, something like that. Man, for a guy who's taking 29 shots with a 45% usage rate, come on. Like, that's screaming to give me 70 fantasy points. I still think you can play both these guys together. Harden's going to have massive freaking games. He's going to average over 30 actual points on the season. So don't be deterred. Don't let people tell you that Harden and Westbrook, Harden's numbers are going to come way down. Nonsense, I tell you. So I'm going to be over the field on Harden on this slate. I can tell you that. Other guys, Capella, whatever, as the last piece, I don't mind. House and Gordon and whatever, and Tucker. Tucker's, again, the last piece if you want, but it's mainly the main two guys, Russ and Harden, for me. Next game, Portland, San Antonio. Man, so the guy who has now cost me the most money, let's play a game. On the count of three, what I want you to do, I guess if you're in a public place or you're at work, don't scream it out. But I want you to say it. I want you to close your eyes, and then on the count of three, I want you to say, who is the person who has cost you the most money the first week of the season? And I'll do it too. Ready? Close your eyes. Bailiff, close your eyes. One, two, three. Zach Collins. Mine's Zach Collins. Man, I was really excited for him this year. I thought he'd have a big role. I thought the blocks and steals were going to be through the roof. I thought he's just going to be... Now, I like him better as the five, and the problem is they keep playing him at the four for the most part. But it just hasn't happened so far. And then late in the third quarter on Sunday, he dislocated his shoulder. So he's going to be out a little bit of time. That gives us some value. You guys know I love the Judge's special. If you're new to the show, what's the Judge's special? When you roster two players at the same position on the same team. And you won't believe it. Because we need a new term. And I don't even know what to call it. I've been staring at this for an hour. Because Portland has three players at the same position on the same team that I would roster. If FanDuel gave me three small forwards, I potentially could roster all three. In Rodney the Corpse Hood, who went nuts on Sunday, Mario Hezonja, and Kent Bazemore. I like all three without Collins. It appeared that Bazemore would be the biggest beneficiary, but he's also the most expensive. So, look, Hood, if they're really going to keep letting him shoot as much as he did on Sunday, and I think they are, he's 4K on FanDuel and 3.8 on DraftKings. Look, playing Hood in cash, it seems stupid on an 11-game slate. It does on the surface, but this is why we watch games, right? Man, he was really active. He was really involved. I guess he only took 8 shots. Seemed like he had a hell of a lot more shots than that. How the hell did he have 30? Oh, no, that was the game against Sacramento. It's not showing what he did on Sunday. He had way more shots than that. Stotts was actually running. They were running plays for Rodney Hood. No joke. In the first and third quarters. So, dare I say it, I'm at that price, I'm fine with Hood for all formats. I really am. And look, I want to see what Stott says about who he's going to start, but I'm fine with both Hezonja and Bazemore. Obviously, I lean to the one who's starting, but we've seen both of them pop off big games, right? So Hezonja, if we need the savings, 3.6, and I think on DraftKings he's dirt cheap too, 3.3. So my first few optimal lineups I made on DraftKings, I'm getting both Bazemore and Hezonja. On FanDuel, one site, I didn't get either of them. And on another site, I'm getting Bazemore. So those guys are going to be popular, but rightfully so. Now, not a great game, right, against the Spurs. Not a great game in terms of pace. But they're so cheap, and I'm fine with it. Lillard, I don't think this is the right game. I really want to unleash Lillard. McCollum, in Slack, we've been talking a lot about McCollum. Dude, he's a really good basketball player. He just is. I mentioned on Sunday that I imagine DeLon Wright is going to be guarding Lillard. So, look, the thing about Dame is that he doesn't force anything on the court, ever. And Stotts is a really good freaking coach. And if one player has a tough matchup and the other can exploit a matchup, they'll keep going to it. And McCollum had the better matchup on Sunday. We said this in Slack. We rostered McCollum, at least a lot of us, and he gave us 52 fantasy points. McCollum is really freaking good. Now, the problem is he plays with Lillard, so obviously there's going to be games where the usage isn't there, and the peripherals, you would like to see a little bit more, but he's still really freaking good. And he's 6.2 on FanDuel, and he's 6.3 on DraftKings. Again, I don't think this is I don't want to target a ton of Blazers on this slate, so I don't know how much McCollum I'm going to play. Probably not a lot. But if in the right matchup, I have no issue going to CJ, and that's why I played him on two slates so far this year. And I'm going to play him a decent amount, especially if that's at the 6.2K. He should be closer to 7K. Don't love the slate for him, but like the player. And I will continue to roster him throughout the season. On the Spurs side, the problem with Murray's been great. He's got 40 fantasy points the first two games, but he's only getting 24 minutes. So if you think he can keep popping off, fantasy point and a half every minute, keep playing him. I love his game. I love watching him. But it was my same philosophy with Valanciunas, right? Valanciunas went nuts on Sunday, and he had 40 fantasy points. But he's on a 20. He's only going to get 20 minutes right now. So I'll let a guy like that beat me. Like, I'm not max entering, right? So I want a guy who's going to play 30 freaking minutes. 20 minutes. I mean, come on. Like that. Like, no, thank you. So Valanciunas, if you played him, good job by you, I guess. Although again, I don't think that was the right move. You got to be so good for every second that you're out there, especially when on a slate on FanDuel, you only get one center. You can't miss center. So while Valanciunas works, it's a scary thing to do. And this slate, this kind of the same philosophy. I love point guard. There's so many point guards I love. So do I want to put my faith in the guy who's going to play 24 minutes? I'm just not going to do it. So if Murray beats me, so be it. The rest of the guys on the Spurs, I mean, Aldridge, he could have a nice night. DeRozan, we know the rest of the Spurs. If you want to play him, go ahead. I don't see myself playing a ton of them. All right, three games to go. Whew, I'm running out of steam, guys. We're at 54 minutes. See if I can finish these three in 12 minutes. Utah, Phoenix. Ayton is obviously still out. Phoenix, by 217 over-under, Utah. Wow, Utah only a 4-point favorite. Phoenix has been frisky. Who'd they beat? They beat Denver? I think they took Denver to OT, right? Was that a couple days ago? Everything at 5 in the morning, everything becomes a blur to me. But they've been playing well. They've been frisky. Aiden's out, obviously, as I already said. That means Baines is starting. And Frank the Tank is playing big minutes. I played both those bozos over the weekend, and they got me a combined 60 fantasy points. They each had like 30. It was glorious. I had Baines at 2%. I mean, he was the minimum, I think. He was the stone cold minimum. And he popped off 30 for me. By the way, he was great. What game was that? That wasn't Denver, man. Yeah, that was the Clippers. That's who it was. They beat the Clippers. That's who it was. Like Baines, he was just an irritant. He got Lou. Was it Lou? Who got ejected? Did someone get ejected by the Clippers? Or no, I think it was just Lou Williams fouled out. I mean, he was getting everyone. He sets these massive screens, and he was getting every Clipper player just so pissed off. He leveled Lou Williams like five straight possessions, man. With all that said, I don't really want a lot of Phoenix guys in this slate. The prices have gone up, which they should have. Baines is up to 4.8 on FanDuel, and Frank the Tank is 5.2. On DraftKings, Baines 5.1, and Frank is 5.3. So 11-game slate in a slowdown game, a good defensive team. I don't want a lot of Phoenix guys here. So you want to play Booker and Rubio and Oubre, go ahead. I think I'll be passing. On the Utah side. Now, Utah, they're the team playing up in pace. Conley eventually is going to figure out how to play again. It hasn't happened yet. His price is still fair. Point guard, though, is loaded on this slate. So I'm going to roster one lineup of Mike Conley. Hope it pays off. But won't feel great about it. He hasn't been able to make shots so far. So eventually, again, those shots will fall. God, Gobert is expensive. Jesus. I don't know if I want to pay 9. It's a great matchup, but 9K on FanDuel, 8K on DraftKings? I mean, I don't know. I mean, Bogdanovich, I don't mind that. He's only 5.6 on FanDuel, 5.4 on DraftKings. Mitchell is okay, too. Man, even though Utah is in a good spot, I don't really love those guys. Those are fair prices. Believe it or not, Bogdanovich is probably my favorite play. I mean, Mitchell, whatever. I'll let Mitchell beat me, man. He's been good to start the year, but I don't know. Denver, Sacramento. So no team has fallen as fast as the Kings have fallen. Maybe ever. Remember last year at this time, how excited we were any time the Kings were on the slate. Just we loved it. We loved to target the Kings. We loved to roster the Kings. We bought crowns and wore them watching games. We were all Kings. Not anymore. They stink. Luke Walton stinks. Bagley's injury stinks. This roster stinks. Harrison Barnes getting $25 million a year stinks. Trevor Ariza really stinks right now. Oof, you watched him play? What the hell happened? He's fallen off a cliff. The one good thing about this lost Kings team in a tough matchup against Denver, 218 over-under, Denver 6-point favorite, is the prices have gone in a free fall. So Fox, who was over, he was well over 8K to start the year. I know that. Was he up to 8.7? 8.6 the first game. So he's already down like $1,000. 7.7 for Fox. Buddy's down to 6.7. Those are tournament plays. Not good matchups, right? So not someone we got to look to target, but... And, man, point guards, so many good point guards. But they're still going to pop up big game. I mean, the Kings, they're not going to be this bad, right? So I would have some interest in Fox and Hield in tournaments. Now, Bielitsa, just whatever. As a last piece, I guess, as a power forward, you can go there. Holmes didn't play at all last game. That was the start. I thought Holmes, when Bagley went out, I thought Holmes would be eventually getting at least 24 minutes. That hasn't really worked out yet. Bogdanovich, another guy. Both Bogdanovich on this slate. But the Kings Bogdanovich, he's down to 4.5K. Now that I could get on board with. He could pop off 30 pretty freaking easily. He's projected for 25. So I don't mind that play at all. Now he's pissed off. He wants a new contract. He doesn't like the fact that he's not starting. It actually wouldn't surprise me if the Kings shook up their starting lineup and actually started Bogdanovich. Why not? Put another shooter on the court. So I like that play a lot. And the guy who's making every optimal lineup on every site right now is Dwayne Dedman. So Dedman walking is he's 4.1 on FanDuel and he's 4.5 on DraftKings. Hasn't looked great at all, but at that price, on a slate where I don't love center and I want to target guys like Westbrook, I want to play Harden as well, even though a lot of you guys don't. So going the Dedman route here, it does make some sense, right? 4.1 is pretty cheap. You don't have to do much. As long as he's still starting. He's projected for like 29 fantasy points. That's a freaking lot. Jesus. So the Dedman route, dare I say, is safe for cash? Question mark? Appears that way? To be continued. But as of right now, I do think that that's a pretty solid play given the way I want to make the rest of my builds. The Denver side, Denver way up in pace here, right? So speaking of centers, Jokic. Now, I haven't rostered Jokic once yet to start the year. Gotten foul trouble one of the games against Portland and didn't, you know, play like 3 minutes in the first half. Against Phoenix, he was great. But that was the night where Towns had like 80. So Jokic giving you like 62 kind of went under the radar. I hate center on this slate, so I think I prefer Drummond even a little bit over Jokic. But not wrong. If you want to play Jokic on this slate, no issues with it whatsoever. Murray in a good spot. It's fine. Gary Harris is coming off a bad game, so his price, he's down to 4.9K. He was in a lot of cash game lineups over the weekend. So that's fine. I mean, Barton, you know, he's the king of Magic Mountain for a reason. He's a roller coaster. So he had a great game to start the season. And then last game, only played 20 minutes. And then Malik Beasley came off the bench and went nuts. And look, if you listen to the show, you know Denver's the one team that I never get right. Beasley, Craig, Barton, they flummox me every night. So I don't know. Whatever. On paper, this is a good matchup for Denver. Even Millsap's in a good spot. Jeremy Grant was even popping in some optimal lineups. So they're fine. As of right now, though, I just don't really know which one of the ones I want to target, if any. But wouldn't shock me at the end of the night, a couple Kings aren't some winning, or a couple Nuggets aren't some winning lineups. All right, last game of the night. You got the Hornets. You got the Clippers. I see no line here. Why is there no line? Who's injured? Hold on. This can't be right. There should be a line here. Charlotte coming off a game against the Lakers on Sunday night where they hung around pretty well and then got blown out in the fourth quarter. All right, here we go. 225 over under. Wow, the Clippers, 15.5-point favorites. Jesus, it's a big number. Yeah, this game, don't really need much in my life. I don't. Cody Zeller, is he going to get 55 again on a back-to-back? No, he will not. So, P.J. Washington is, Bridges would be the one guy, probably my favorite guy. He's 5.2 on FanDuel. I really like the usage that I saw Sunday night. What is he on DraftKings? 6.3. Jesus. Wow. You almost never see a player's 1K cheaper on FanDuel than DraftKings. Man, so again, FanDuel, I do have maybe mild interest, even though very hard matchup, especially if he's Kawhi's on him. I guess mild interest in Bridges. Other than that, though, I don't need to play some Charlotte guys. Same with the Clippers. They should beat them pretty easily. I mean, you saw Kawhi play like 20 minutes last game. Like, Doc is not going to extend Kawhi if he doesn't need to. And best case scenario, you probably get 30 minutes of Kawhi, so I don't need that. Beverly, Shithead, Shamit, and Zubac, and Patterson, those bums, no thanks. I guess Harrell and Lou would be the two guys, my two favorite Clippers, if you need some exposure to that game, I guess. So far, every big man has destroyed Charlotte. I mean, we saw Anthony Davis. Dwight Howard, how about that? Dwight Howard put up over 40 freaking fantasy points. Who else destroyed Charlotte? Was it Towns who put up 80 on them? Yeah, so again, big men against Charlotte, like, that's a thing. Harrell should put up a big number. I'm fine with that play, I guess. Lou will. Fine. All right, that's it. We did it. Only an hour and 6 minutes. That's not bad. So this is a tough slate, not going to lie. It's tricky. Obviously, the studs you pick, that dictates the rest of your build. A lot of different routes you can go. You can go without a stud and go and build a pretty nice balanced lineup too, by the way. We'll see. Hopefully, you had a good week. Hopefully, you had a good weekend. A new week is here. Let's keep our strong start to the NBA season going. Me, I got to get to bed. I am beat. For the bailiff, for the judge, court is adjourned.